Welcome back, everybody, and we always like to have you guys check us out. And of course, before our little tease on the break, Donald, give us some advice and where you can find some information on
TheValleyOutdoors.com. Very simple to find. And check out the United States map there. It's pretty cool. You can go to any state and get all your regulations and information.
Yep. Doesn't matter what season, you're big or small, and it's got it all. So we abruptly cut you off on how you would get an ice house with a sheriff conversation.
Well,
we're not saying where this is.
No.
Please remember, this is not where.
And I'm not recommending this, by the way, but this is what was told to me by a sheriff. And I had an ice house out that, have the 4x4 or the 4x6 underneath for sled, for the runners.
Yeah.
And we had a thaw and a rain, and then it was going to get to be 25 below. And
so it was part of the lake surface.
Right. But we got it. Mine hadn't froze in. There were three of us that got it. Ours off the lake at like 11 o'clock at night before this storm come in. And so I was talking to
Was that when you were in your dress shoes?
Yeah, I was. I was in a suit, and it was not nice because I had about 4 inches of water over the top of my shoes, and it was cold. Ice water. So I'm talking to the sheriff a couple days later, and I said, there's like 100 ice houses got froze in out there. I don't know how they're going to get that out. Well, he said, now you got to keep in mind, you can't do this if you're in any kind of a city or. But he said he literally uses his revolver and goes
and he
around.
Pounds the ice?
No, he shoots through the ice and shatters the ice all the way around the ice house, around the sleds.
Of course, now
you can't.
You just spent $87 trying
to get for ammunition. Well, that's if you've ever had one in there and you've tried to chisel it or axe it out of there, you'll say, you know what, that might make sense. But make sure you're not breaking any laws doing that.
I've seen guys try to do that with a torch, and I know how that ends up.
Yeah, just 2 4x4s in the ice.
I've had somebody also try to hook up with a truck and pull it out.
Oh, yeah.
And they end up pulling the shanty, but they leave the rest of it. It's like it's just, it's destroyed.
I've literally seen them where they take a chainsaw and just cut the skis off of them, which, you've destroyed the ice house. So that's why it's you got to be so careful about doing that.
And that's, I will say, is one of those experiences that you will not forget.
No, I sold my ice house after that.
It's kind of like the Minnetonka boat. If you haven't heard of the event or this situation last fall in Lake Minnetonka, where someone had built a trailer for them, supposedly, for their 42-foot Chris Craft, and it was on one of the bays, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and then we had that hard freeze, and it was big news. The boat coming across Minnetonka, breaking ice the whole way. And it's still, if I'm not mistaken, was still sitting there about 3 weeks ago on the ramp at Spring Park and on this makeshift trailer that the person originally that was going to make it didn't make it. They had to...
Oh, they never got it out of the water?
They got it out of the water, but it was one of these things where they only could pull it up so far because the way the trailer was and the landing and everything else. So welcome to winter not necessarily being your friend.
Yeah, well, we all know how that can work.
Speaking of friends...
Yes.
When we go fishing, we trash talk, right, Don?
Oh, yeah.
Not heavy, but you know what I mean? It's kind of fun.
What do you mean? You can't help yourself.
It's
part of your nature.
Well, it's fun. What are you going to do?
First thing he does when you come in off the lake is, what'd you catch?
How'd you do?
Yeah, how'd you do?
Did you okay?
I'm sure it wasn't as good as you, so let's just move on.
Well, so I'm just trying to get at it, Don. Come on, let's go. A couple buddies in Brainerd took trash talk to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And, of course, trash talk could be belittling, demeaning, insulting. But, again, it could be just fun razzing like it is for our
right.
group when we go out. Two people went recently took it to a new level when a gentleman took out a $300 electronic billboard on Highway 371 in Brainerd.
I saw this.
Oh.
This is the biggest thoroughfare going north. This
right.
is like going, am I wrong? It's like the biggest highway. It's
heading in Central Minnesota
going up north.
Yep.
He did it for 5 days to humiliate his fishing buddy. And there's this picture of his buddy, smiling picture. In the heading, it says, "This is Troy. He sucks at fishing."
That's nice.
apparently, according to his buddy, Troy sucks, and that's the way it works. But he tried to get him, and he actually has got a website for him or a Gmail. It said TroySucks2@gmail.com, and apparently he tried to do that because TroySucks1 didn't work because it was already taken. So, unfortunately, he's not done well in his fishing trips. And he said one of the evenings he spent the night on a boat and had to sleep it off the next day. He woke up, he saw his bobber had gone down, reeled in the fish, stuck it in Troy's face, went back to sleep. Of course, Troy had caught nothing at all the whole trip.
I don't know how you could do that.
I don't know.
Did he lose a bet?
No. If there's bad luck or on the boat or in the fish house, Troy's got it, is what it comes down to, is what his friend said. But I'm sorry. Take out a billboard?
That's expensive.
Well, he spent $300 for 5 days.
Yeah.
Of course,
it must have been worth it.
Realistically, if you get national coverage on something like that,
still costs you $300.
Yeah, but it's well worth it. You'll never forget it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I wouldn't do it. Would you?
Maybe.
Yeah. I'll make sure at least I catch a fish on every trip.
Make sure I don't have any incriminating photos of you holding a little fish, John.
Oh, I got all kinds of them. I do that to myself.
Oh.
And my sons. Yeah, we compare. Don't you get the little 4-inch walleye and hold them up, you know, arms out?
Way out.
So I make them look big like you do?
I did that. I actually did that. Do you guys remember Perk Perkins? He's on national TV now. He's like this funny guy. He'd go out there and do funny stuff and different TV shows and news channels.
Okay.
So I went out and he was fishing with me. We were doing a news event on Lake Calhoun. And he ends up being on the front of my boat. I get I had a muskie on, and he bumped me, almost threw me out of the boat. He jumped up into the front of the boat in this quick movement and almost bumped me out of the boat. So then I ended up catching, I think it was a small walleye or a perch, or no, it was a bass. And I said, well, you know how they do this trick photography? I said, here's how this works. So I said, little fish, and then I reached my arm out as long as I could go in front of the camera, so it was literally taking up the whole camera. Big fish, little fish, big fish. And when you look at it on TV, when you hold it out like this, and your hand behind it, and you can't tell it's not a monster bass. And he's like, wow, it is true, trick photography. You can get that done without CG. And it was hilarious. But yeah, that's one of those events, Don, that you can really kind of have fun with. Any of those, people out. So kind of fun. Should we wrap up? Let's go with we'll come back. We got some good stories because I don't want to jump into the next story and then cut it halfway like your story.
Okay.
We'll be right back. More Valley Outdoors.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
You know, so many guys, when they look at deer hunting, you pick and choose and take the time to look for that perfect buck. And I mean, a bunch of my buddies I haven't spent much time doing that, but a lot of my friends have done that down in Buffalo County, big areas of monster deer down there. Obviously, the Michigan areas with ginormous bucks there, Wisconsin, there's a lot of big deer. But the unfortunate part is when you have somebody that decides that they don't want to go for just one.
Or extended season.
Or extending the season beyond the actual season. That's a bit of a challenge, and this story definitely highlights that. A Van Buren County man, this is in Michigan, gets jail time and fines plus a lifetime loss of hunting privileges after poaching trophy bucks in Decatur, Michigan. Unethical activity was the issue. It resulted in prison time, financial restitution, and loss of the privileges in the state. And We're satisfied that this criminal will be imprisoned, robbing ethical hunters, damaging crops, etc. On October 17th, Michigan State Police troopers were investigating an involvement in a domestic violence complaint. The state police contacted the DNR conservation officer when they noticed that several deer in a nearby barn where this gentleman reportedly spent a significant amount of time. A conservation officer investigated it and seized 8 illegal bucks in the barn, 5 10-pointers and 3 with 8 points each. 2 days later, an anonymous tip to the DNR report all poaching hotline stated that he had taken another deer. Conservation officers confirmed he had taken another trophy buck, increasing his total to 9 illegally taken deer.
You know, the point of this story that kind of caught me is he's not too bright. If the conservation officer had already been there, and then to go out and get another one?
I don't get it. He pled guilty to felon in possession of a firearm, obtaining a hunting license when ineligible, illegal taking and possessing a white-tailed deer. And part of the plea deal, he was given a lifetime hunting revocation, ordered to pay $25,000 in reimbursement, forfeited all seized items, and will serve 18 months to 5 years in Michigan Department of Corrections facility.
Man.
He got hit in the head with that one.
Yeah. Woo. That's too bad. Well, it's a good thing that he was discovered, let's say.
Yeah, unfortunately.
For all the rest of the ethical hunters out there.
It's just unfortunate. That just sucks. So, one thing that doesn't suck, though, Don.
What's that?
You've talked bobsled before, dog sled racing kind of thing. Not bobsled, dog sled.
Right.
Dog sled racing. The John Bear Grease race that takes place from Duluth to Grand Portage.
In Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Right along the North Shore.
Right along the North Shore. Beautiful area. They had a bunch of teams this year. What was it, Ava? How many teams do we have?
30 mushers.
30 mushers, which means 30 teams. And each dog team is going to be consisting of 8 dogs. And they just recently competed. And Ryan Anderson won the event. This is his 4th time. There's only one other guy to win 4 times. That's in the 38 years that this event has been running. And he is from Cushing, Wisconsin. So a kind of a hometown Midwest boy. But the nice part is, or fun part is, he now qualifies for the Iditarod, which is in
Alaska.
This race happens to be a 300-mile race, and I think we said it's 3 days. Didn't we say that?
It takes about, I think.
3 days.
It's 100 miles a day.
That's
a lot.
That's pushing it. It's crazy. The funny part about this was, he had a 1-hour cushion, which was apparently close to a record, coming in 1 hour ahead of everybody else. Normally, it's much closer. And so he won in 2011, 2015, and 2017. He joins Nathan Schrader and Jamie Nelson as the event's only 4-time winners. He said, "I don't get too excited or show a lot of emotion that way, but obviously I'm super happy and super proud of what I've accomplished. I'm more proud of the confidence that the dog team is now moving forward with them, and they feel like they can accomplish anything." And about a dozen of those 30 had dropped out of the race by midday Tuesday. And officials used the word punchy to describe the snow conditions along the North Shore and comparing it to running on mashed potatoes. The warm weather caused some mushers to worry about the health of their dogs. And that was probably one of those reasons. We've experienced that, Don, when the temperature gets warm and those dogs have such a heavy coat. The same thing holds true when you're dealing with the dogs and you're pheasant hunting in those same warm conditions.
So I've got the Bear Grease website up, and you're talking about the dogs?
Yeah.
Well, it says animal welfare has been the single most important aspect of this event from its inception.
Taking care of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Last year they didn't have this race, obviously with the
pandemic,
and they did allow spectators along the trail. They were not allowed to cheer teams on last year, of course, because of that pandemic. They were not wanting anybody on it, and they didn't have anybody there, so they just kind of said, "Forget it, we're not going to do it." But 38 years they've been doing this, Don. Pretty neat deal.
Are you sure it's 38? Because it says for over 40. On here.
It says 38th year. That's what kind of what it says. What can I go by?
I don't know. I'm going to go by what it says on their website.
Well, there is that.
It says, for over 40 years, the Minnesota's North Shore comes alive with the excitement of the John Bear Grease Dog Sled Marathon.
Well, we have a conflict. It's a big deal.
Yeah. What's that?
It is. Well, we have one that says 40, one says 38, so we'll just say 39 years. Call it.
It's been going on a long time.
It's been going on
a long time.
I'll sleep well knowing that.
Other comment that we were talking in the break, Don, was kind of something that raised my eyebrow a little bit. We're looking at Lake St. Clair and the St. Clair River, and they just made an announcement. They're going to be doing the same thing, obviously, with a lot of the lakes in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, with a lot of the new regulations coming out. And they just announced that Lake St. Clair and St. Clair River and the associated pieces and parts with it, including Detroit River, Erie, and Lake St. Clair and the St. Clair River itself, they have increased the minimum size limit to 15 inches now. It used to be at 13 inches. So one of the ways that you can protect those early in the year fish, and I think that's kind of one of those methodologies that they have, and they've been working with that a lot. Gabatogama, they've done that, working at trying to increase size of fish. And I was surprised. I know that the average fish on Erie is incredible. I really didn't. You don't think about the minimum size being a 13-inch fish, but I do know they get pounded pretty heavily out on the reefs early season out on Erie, and they're definitely going for smaller fish. And of course, that will have some impact to those guys. They like to get out there, get the limits of X number of fish, and get them to come back in on those six-pack boats. So we'll follow that story and a couple other things that go along with it in that area as well. So we're going to be expanding all of our fun coverage to every bit of our Midwest territory now. So that's kind of fun. But yeah,
It's never a good thing to increase the size of the limit, right?
It impacts the fishing.
It's a protection.
It's a correction factor because they're seeing a significant number of that 13 to 15 inch fish being taken. And think of a fishery as a tripod or a triangle. The smaller fish are going to be big numbers at the base of that triangle, but if you don't have a solid base in that triangle, you're not going to have it feeding up to that bigger fish pyramid. So if it collapses and goes the other way, it's not a good thing. So, well, thanks for being with us, you guys. We certainly appreciate it. For Ava, for Don, and myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. We hope you guys join us next week when we will be back. Thanks much. See you. Bye.